Welcome, all that made it, all five of us. We know that the scripture says that wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in your presence also. And so we're definitely blessed to have everyone here who's here today. Hopefully, those who were not able to make it will be able to listen to this. Scott will be putting it up on the church webpage, and so we'll give people a chance to be encouraged, even if they weren't able to be with us here today. We just want a couple announcements. Once again, we will be postponing our Appreciation Sunday till the second Sunday in March. And we will be having our dedication Sunday next Sunday. So we want to make sure that we're reaching out to people and having that as a big celebration, honoring God for what he's done for us here in our church. Second Sunday in March, we will also be starting our Bible classes, which means Art will be teaching Bible basics, giving those who are wanting a deeper understanding of the basics of the Bible an opportunity. And then I will be teaching a discipleship class, not teaching you how to be a disciple, but looking at what the Bible has to say about making disciples. How do we, those who are mature Christians, make disciples of new believers? So those are a couple announcements. You know, as we've been talking, we talked a bit about the temple of God. And we've been looking at Josiah and looking at how things had fallen apart before Josiah became king, how the temple had been in total disarray, and how easily that happens when we're not looking out for our temple, not making sure that it's in the right place. You know, when we look at Josiah in the temple, it kind of made me think of the idea of spring cleaning. Do you ever do spring cleaning and kind of go through all of your stuff, and then you start realizing all of the stuff that you packed away that really had value to you, but you just haven't seen it in a while because it just kind of got tucked away. It was put into a box. For Julie and I, as we were trying to merge all of our stuff and get to a point where we had room for all of our things, we had to go through and look at stuff, figure out what we could get rid of, what we couldn't. And as we were going through that process, I ran into a box. It's an old cell phone box, so naturally there's a lot of room in the box. But there was a cell phone box full of pictures that I had from my time in the military, probably from about the age of 18 all the way through my time in the military before digital cameras became big. And so naturally, in the middle of when I'm supposed to be figuring out what to get rid of, I stop and start looking through all those pictures. And, you know, it was kind of a wonderful thing because I was able to look back and see faces that I hadn't thought of in a long time and to be able to remember wonderful trips that I was able to take in my time in the military. And it just, there was so much value to being able to look back at my past, at my memories, and to have the opportunity to reevaluate what was really a priority. You know, what things in my life had value that had not been a part of my life in a while. And I kind of felt that same thing when I looked at the story of Josiah. We'll look at 2 Chronicles 34. Verses 14 through 20. It says, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and the workers. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahilkam, son of Shaphan, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary of Asaiah, the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the remnant of Israel and Judah, about what is written in the book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because of those who have gone before us, to have before us have not kept the word of the Lord. they have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. You see, the rejuvenation of God's holy temple led to something special. It led to an awakening. You see, Josiah recognized something about the temple. There was something about the temple that was important. We know that it was important to him because of the amount of money he was willing to spend. You notice right away, the first thing he said is, you get the money that was supposed to be for the temple, take that money and make sure that God's temple is rejuvenated, that all of the things that have been torn down are put back into their proper place and get them looking the way that they're supposed to look. He also knew from history that the times when God's people took care of the temple, at the times when God's people made sure that his temple was cared for, that everything went right in the kingdom, didn't it? God's people were blessed. They had the things they needed. They were in a place of good fortune. And so the temple's restoration was a magnificent thing. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there, to see this magnificent temple being rebuilt? I imagine we kind of have the same sort of feeling as we look around our sanctuary, don't we? I mean, when you look at where things have come from to where they are, how beautiful they are, all the work that went into it, it's a thing that brings great encouragement. It's something that builds us up and gives us a sense that that good things are happening. The thing about it is that the real power wasn't in the rebuilding of the temple. The real power wasn't in the rejuvenation of the building. You know, a lot of times as human beings, we have a tendency to think that God is more focused on our works, don't we? That God is looking down, and if we're doing the right things, if we're reading our scripture, if we're saying our prayers, if we're encouraging one another daily, if we're doing all these things, that the things are the things that are pleasing to God. So if I'm doing all of the things that the Bible says I'm supposed to do, God is happy with me because I am doing what he wants, right? And you would think that restoring the temple would be the very thing that God would be pleased with, wouldn't you? You would think if you're taking care of it, if you're building it up, this is the place where God dwells. Of course he's happy when we're doing the right thing, right? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 21 through 24, it says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go ahead and your burnt offerings, add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. You see, when we think that the actions are the things that are pleasing to God, we completely miss the point. God was asking for all of us, total and complete obedience, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, every aspect of who we are, of what we're doing, is what's important to him. How close are we? What kind of relationship do we have with him? Do we trust in him with our full heart, or do we just follow steps? Do we just follow the patterns? Do we just show up on Sunday? Do we just sing the songs? Do we just make sure that we're following after the patterns of what we see? To say that it wasn't important to God in restoring the temple would be wrong. It was important, but what was more important was what was found inside of the temple. You see, it was the scrolls, it was the relationship, it was the words of God, the communication of God, that really was what was most powerful. And without finding those scrolls, it would have just been a fancy new building. It would have meant nothing if they hadn't been able to find a way to connect with and to restore, rejuvenate their relationship with God. We see with Josiah, when he read the scrolls, that he was distraught. It really meant something to him to hear the word of God and to know that the people weren't honoring it. And so Josiah went about a pattern, and I think a pattern that's really worth looking at. First, he listened to God's message. God's message meant something to him. When God speaks, do we listen? When God's word tells us to care for the orphans and widows, do we do that? When God's word speaks to us and says, love one another as I have loved you, does that resonate in our soul? Is it something that speaks to us, that draws out of us something more powerful than just following rules? He also tore his robes. We see in 2 Chronicles 34:19, which we read, there was something that changed within Josiah. You know, I think a lot of times for us, when it comes to things like repentance, I think it becomes kind of a secondary type of thing. One of two things tends to happen. We either, one, look and go, I'm saved by grace through faith, therefore God's forgiven me for all that, so I can completely ignore it, I can pretend like it never even happened, and I don't have to have any kind of conviction in my heart. And the fact of the matter is, God's word should move us. It should bring a conviction. It should do something inside of us that makes us say, I don't want to be the way I used to be. I don't want to live life the way I used to live life. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to follow my own ambitions. I don't want to crave the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I don't want those things to be primary in my life anymore. I want to live a changed life. It should lead to a conviction. The other thing that tends to happen is that we get into a guilt-stricken phase where everything is gloom and doom whenever things go wrong. And so we start beating ourselves up. We start tearing ourselves down. I'm such an idiot. I'm so worthless. I'm not even looking like Christ. I have no pattern like him. I am absolutely depraved. And then we stew in it, don't we? Oh, well, I guess I can't serve God today because I'm not good enough. I messed up earlier, so I guess I should just give up. I'm just a no good, nothing, worthless person. And you see, that doesn't work either. Because you are saved by grace. And so we can't live in our sins. We can't let those sins overwhelm us to the point where we stop moving. And so when we look here, he tore his robes. He recognized his depravity. He recognized that he wasn't good enough. But we see that Josiah didn't live there. We see that he inquired of the Lord, what do I need to do to change this? How do I make this behavior better? If I am continuing to sin in one way, how do I stop sinning in that way? I inquire of the Lord. I look and go, God, how do I behave differently so that this isn't the pattern in my life? If I'm struggling with anger in my car, which I do all the time, frustration with other people's driving, how do I change that, Lord? How do I make that different? Will you love your neighbor as you love yourself, John? So you don't look at that as a car. You look at that as a human being. You look at that as another flawed, helpless, harassed person who needs the Lord the same way you do. And that should help change your perspective. What else can I do, Lord? Pray without ceasing. You can look and ask and say, God, help my heart to be right when I drive. And every sin that we experience, whether great or small, if we inquire of the Lord, if we look at his word, if we study, if we examine, then we can find the strength to move in the Lord the way that he would have us move. But the other thing, and I think the most powerful thing that Josiah did, was that he shared the message of God with all the people. If you'll look with me at 2 Chronicles 34, verses 29 through 32, it says, "Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, statutes and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God and the God of their ancestors." You see, if we change on our own, that's a good thing. If we grow in our relationship with God, that's a good thing. But what is greater is to share the message. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. You see, the primary goal wasn't Jesus saying, "Jonathan, you become the best Christian you can be. And if you become the best Christian you can be, then that's good enough. I just want you to be a good person. You love me, you read your scriptures, you do what you're supposed to do, you go to church, and I'm happy with you." He said your primary goal is to go and to take this message. You see, Josiah understood that it wasn't good enough for him to repent. It wasn't good enough for him to inquire of the Lord. It was important that he help his people to know the Lord. The fact of the matter is, we live in a world where people have no idea who Jesus is. They'll talk about him like he was a prophet. They'll talk about him like he was a good man. They'll talk about him as if he was somebody that lived in a fairy tale world out of a fairy tale book. But they don't have any clue who Jesus is. They don't have any clue the sacrifices he made in his life for their salvation. They have no understanding of the fact that God loved them enough to send his son who died on a cross for them. There is a world full of people who have no idea what it really means to have a Savior who loves them. And if that message is not our message, then just like this sanctuary does nothing but cover our heads and look pretty, our worship does nothing but allow us to feel good. It does nothing but allow us to stand here today and to look and say, "You know what? I'm okay with God because I go to church. I'm okay with God because I pray." Our lives are about so much more than just simply sitting in a building. That's why it's not a big deal that there's only 5 people here today. Because if this is all that matters, then it's pointless. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and share the good news that there is a Savior that came to the earth, that died for our sins, that was buried for us, and that rose again. And that we, in that same commitment, in that same heart, when we step out in faith and say, "Jesus is Lord and Savior," can have that confidence of salvation, and we can share this message. We can rejuvenate not just our church, encouraging each other, building each other up, but we can build up our community. We can reach out to the lost. We can care for the poor and the needy, take care of the orphans and the widows. We have the power to make an impact on our world. And so the question that we have today is, do we have the courage to take this message to our community? Do we have the courage to lovingly share the message of Jesus Christ to the world. I pray that we do. We have an opportunity in the next couple of weeks to really introduce people to the Lord's kingdom. We're going to, on our dedication Sunday, bring a message of why. Why is it so important to be a part of God's people? Why is it so important for us to be a part of the kingdom? A message that I hope will change lives, that I hope will give people an opportunity to know who Jesus is and why it's so important to be a part of his people. I pray that we will be the kind of people that will reach out to those who we know and we love and to say, you know what? I want you to be there. I want you to be a part of what God is doing in this community. I want you to know the love of Jesus Christ so that if you're not saved, that you have the opportunity to have that. If you are saved, that you have an opportunity to be a part of a group of believers that wants to change the world. But we have to have the willingness to carry that message. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now. God, I am so thankful for the fact that you loved us enough to send your Son. The fact that you gave us your word, that you helped us to understand so that we can care for each other, that we can love you and can honor you through our actions and our words, Lord. I just pray that as we go through this week, that we will be committed to reaching out to others for your kingdom, that we will be focused on growing your kingdom and make this a place where your word is truth. And where people can come to find you, to find the hope that you bring. I pray that you will be with us as we get ready to go home, Lord, that you'll keep us safe in the snow. And we just thank you so much for everything that you bless us with. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.